And good morning, everyone. I'd like to share a couple of things because we are involved in various ministries, and one of the ways that we can be involved in together, we have a prison ministry. And I received this card here I wanted to share with you that was so inspiring. I'm going to leave it back there because you can't see it from back where you all are. But this is all handmade and hand grafted and designed and so on. It says, God is love. It's just magnificent. And this is one of the guys in the 6A in the prison that designed this and made this. In fact, he's the one that has the most tattoos. He's got more tattoos than he has skin, but he is so on fire and he's so grateful. Inside it says, this is how we know what love is. It says, God is love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. 1 John 3:16. And he says, thank you for your time, love, wisdom, and most of all, your guitar. Our fun times together when we're praising God. You are appreciated, and this is a token of our gratitude. God bless you, Aaron Lamar. Leave that back there so you can see the artistic capabilities. And oh, by the way, I also have this here. This was from Chris. He's another one of the prisoners there in the Santa Clara County Jail. It's a handmade cross. And so I didn't have one, and now I have one. So I love it, and it's a constant reminder of what we just participated in with the communion. And one third thing I'd like to share with you is many of you remember years ago when Paul and Mary were part of our church. That was a number of years ago, but they were a part of our church for quite some time back in the earlier times. And she passed away, and that just not too long ago, this past year. But this was a card, a letter that was sent to all of us here. And I want to thank you and all the other people who gave such help and emotional support after the death of my wife, Mary. I was so truly amazed and felt privileged for all the encouragement. Support for the funeral was amazing, and those who came were so supportive. All the visits to the hospital to see Mary and myself in our hour of need was beyond anything I have ever experienced. The phone calls, prayers, letters, and encouragement were so helpful and welcome. This whole experience sure has changed my attitude about life, my future, and others' pain. I have been through a lot, and all of us have, but this experience was like none other. It felt like half of my soul had been taken from me. I am not much of a communicator, but I wanted to express my gratitude to you all. In gratitude and faith, Paul Lowe. So that was a very thoughtful gesture, but it's hard to even imagine. I guess it happens to all of us eventually when one of us has to go. When we have the experience, then we know we need to respond and we need to do whatever we can to be supportive. Cards, letters, calls, encouragement, or whatever to let people know that they are missed and loved. Well, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you again. We want to be your house of prayer. We are so thankful that you are our God. There's nobody like you, and you are including us in your family, Father, Son, and Spirit. And there's so much that you're going to share with us today. We can hardly wait to hear, because what you have planned and prepared for us is astounding. It's beyond comprehension. And we are so thankful that you love us the way that you do. God, you are love, just like Lamar mentioned in this beautiful card. And we just thank you for being love and for loving us. And we don't deserve that. But that's what grace is when we receive what we don't deserve. And God, that just shows what kind of a God you are. We want to be just like you and loving people because you know the future. And it's a wonderful thing to realize that we're going to be with you for eternity. And you've got that planned out and you've spelled it out in your word. And so we look forward to that future with you and this future with you right now. And we ask you to speak through us and to listen. Help us to listen to what you have to tell us today, and we ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, I want to ask a question. Why in the world was Jesus baptized? Have you ever wondered about that? Why was he baptized in the first place? Because, I mean, we're baptized for the remission of sins, but he never sinned. And that question, I don't remember ever being addressed per se, but today we're going to find out the exciting reason why Jesus was baptized. And our sermon begins in Mark chapter 1. I'd like to read this scripture. If you can turn to Mark chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 4. And so John came. This is John the Baptist. We'll find out more about him. He was quite a guy. Probably made Lamar, with all of his tattoos, look like a perfectly normal person. But we'll find out more about that. But it will tell us right here. John came baptizing in the desert regions and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and the whole Judean countryside and all of the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Man, Lamar, you got to catch up here. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." So why then was Jesus baptized? Well, we'll find that out. But let's get a little bit of the background here to understand what was going on, because the Jews were coming from Jerusalem by the thousands, going out into the desert. It would be like us saying, "All right, let's all get together and we need to go down to Blythe, California, down there in the desert, right by the Colorado River. And we're all going to go down there and we're going to be baptized." Can you imagine that? I guess that could happen, but why would this be happening? All these people, they didn't have a car, and they started hoofing it, heading it out on a donkey or whatever, down to the Jordan River in the middle of the wilderness out in the desert. And they took this arduous journey for the purpose of repenting of their sins and to be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Now, there's a lot of meaning behind this that helps us to understand what should be going on in our lives as well. But there was a revival, obviously, going on in the nation, because when you think about what was going on, they were under this Roman rule. They were being dealt very cruelly and mean, and they could just be crucified or killed or whacked or whatever they wanted to do. It was a very corrupt government, and they hadn't had a prophet in Israel in over 400 years. And so they thought, well, this is our chance, kind of like the U.S. needing to get back on track because we're headed off to the woke direction and doing some crazy stuff today where they're teaching in schools that you can do all sorts of things that are forbidden in the Bible, and that's okay, no problem. They probably were even wondering if they were even God's chosen people. And they thought, well, what are we going to do? We need a revival. We need to get back on track. Just like this whole nation, this whole world needs a revival. And that's what Jesus Christ is coming back to bring. But there were people, young and old, rich and poor, kings, peasants, all traipsing out into the desert by the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. Now, let's learn a little bit more about John. First of all, we need to realize that what it says right here, it says, John wore clothing made out of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. When was the last time you ate a locust? Just thinking about it gives me the goosebumps, you know. But this brought back lots of memories to the Jews, because they remembered their major prophet was Isaiah. And you know what Isaiah was doing? I mean, what he was wearing? He was wearing sackcloth. That was what he did. You can read about that in Isaiah chapter 20 and verse 2, that he wore sackcloth and he would have been a close description to John the Baptist. But then I didn't realize also, let's take a look at 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 8, and we'll find out somebody else that we know even more so than Isaiah. 2 Kings 1, beginning in verse 7, well, actually up in verse 2, after Ahab's death, the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messenger of the king of Samaria and ask them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Beelzebub? You will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die," is what Elijah told the king. I'm sure that made the king really happy. But Elijah went. Then verse 7 says, the king asked them, "What kind of man was it that came to meet you and told you this to bring this message to me?" And they replied, "He was a man with a garment of hair and a leather belt around his waist." And the king said, "That was Elijah the Tishbite." So here Elijah was wearing the kind of similar clothes to the clothes that John the Baptist was wearing. So when John the Baptist was doing this, they realized this guy's a prophet. They had some physical evidence, and then the fact that he's doing something, telling everybody that we need to repent, that we need to get back on track, that something spectacular is coming, kind of like what we're saying today. Jesus Christ is coming back very soon, and it's going to be a spectacular event. And so this was just like Isaiah was the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare you the way of the Lord." Malachi says the same thing about today, that there will be Elijah the prophet that will come and say, prepare the way for the return of Jesus Christ. Now the people came and they were being baptized in the Jordan River. What does the Jordan River have to do with anything? Well, it gave great significance for the people of Israel because their ancestors entered the promised land through the Jordan River. And that's where they came to their freedom, which is interesting. And so when they went down into the water and then they came up out of the water, it was like coming out of Egypt and coming into the promised land. And so it had meaning to them. And going out into the desert represents sin. And it's usually when people are at their lowest point, which Israel was at that time. They hadn't had a prophet in over 400 years. And they felt like they had been abandoned by God and they hadn't had any prophets like they had during all the minor prophets and the major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel and so on. And then they had about 12 other prophets down through you read them all in the right after Ezekiel. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah, the rest of those books are all prophets. But God wants us to realize that sin is no respecter of persons. We've got to go through this whole process and come out of this wilderness ourselves. And that's what God did for us. And that's what Jesus Christ did when he was baptized. And it applies to everybody, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, the rulers and the peasants. Sin takes us out into the wilderness, and we need to come out of that wilderness. The wilderness is this world, but it's all symbolic, and it meant a lot to those Israelites when they saw all this being played out in the life of John the Baptist and what he was doing there. Now here's where we find the living water, Jesus Christ, because it says down here, "He that comes after me will baptize you with water, not only water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so it's good for us to start thinking about what God has done in our lives to bring us out of the wilderness into this land of freedom that we have in the promised land. Because when we are in Christ, we are in this new life. This new life of the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 2, it says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And that's what it's talking about right here. "And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is phenomenal, because actually this is baptizing you with eternal life. The Holy Spirit is eternal life. It's called in the New Testament also, the down payment or a deposit or a preparation, because your mind is the very mind of Jesus Christ. Now, John the Baptist couldn't do that because that was before the book of Acts, and he only baptized with water, and it was for the repentance of their sins and so forth. But the one that was coming, just like the one that is coming, we've been all been baptized, but the one is that is coming, Jesus Christ, is going to not only baptize us with the Holy Spirit, but include us in his very own family. In fact, I'm very thankful that that song was the one that we sang. It was talking about that, how we are going to be caught up and be a part of the very family of God. And that is what the Israelites thought was going to happen to them. And it is, but it was going to be a few thousand years later. But that's what they were hoping for. They wanted to have that liberation. They wanted to have this Messiah come. And the Messiah did come, but he came for a different reason. Just like a lot of times we pray, God, will you please answer my prayer? And he answers the prayer and we don't even see it, because he's given us something that's more important, like faith. Faith is when you don't get what you want for a while, and you have to hold on to it by faith. And faith is far more valuable than getting what we want. Because a lot of things times we want is to just heal me, take away this pain, do this, do that, do this, whatever. But please, but what God gives us, a lot of times we don't see it till later on. And so that's why God is giving us now a down payment of that promised eternal life, so that we can begin to think like God and let God use us and work in us and work through us the way he worked through John the Baptist in that particular environment and setting. So they were not just going out to repent and be baptized when they went out into the desert, out into the Jordan River, but they also went out to anticipate the imminent appearance of the Messiah. Because that's what John was saying. There's somebody coming upon this world that I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoelaces. But anyway, it just shows the attitude that John the Baptist had. And we need to have that same attitude where we realize, compared to Jesus Christ, we just need to so look up to him. He is so far beyond, we don't even deserve to tie his shoes. But that's the kind of attitude God wants in us, so that we can be instruments in his hands. Otherwise, how can he trust us if he doesn't know we're going to do exactly what he commands us to do? That's why we read the Bible, so that we will learn exactly what God wants us to do. And like the last verse in John 14 says, and we've mentioned this many, many times, Jesus said, I do exactly what my Father in heaven commands me to do. And so the more we read the Bible, the more we find out, man, I need to make changes here and there and everywhere. And if we are asking God to open our eyes to see that, I'll guarantee you that's a prayer he will answer, because he wants us to become just like him. And what a blessing it is to have that kind of character where you don't have to worry about anything. I love to share that with the prisoners. You know, the number one thing God commands in the Bible more than anything else is don't worry. And to hear them say, you know, I've finally come to the place where I am not worried about getting out. We're here to fulfill God's will. This is our mission field until God wants us out. And they're comforted and they've got peace. That's a gift from God, because they said they were tormented all the time, wondering what's going on and this is not fair and I shouldn't have been here in the first place and all sorts of things that are going on in their minds. And so the very same thing we might be thinking, why am I going through this trial and all the rest of that, when God tells us, when you read his word, count it all joy when you go through these trials, because God is preparing you for glory. And he's going to give you a body that's going to go with the mind you're building now. And so we don't have anything to worry about, even though some of the things that we go through just drive you nuts. And we could all give testimonies about that, what each of us has gone through in the last few years ourselves, probably. Now, when we understand that this is something that is a gift from God, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And when he chastens us, that's not bad, that is good. And we all need that in order for us to stay on the right track, because if you're driving a car, you have to be constantly making changes all the time to stay on track. And that's what God wants us to be doing, is dying daily and repenting daily. But you can sense the excitement that must have been in Israel when they realized, here we got a prophet. There's hope on the horizon to get out from under this horrendous trial of being under this abusive government that's treating us like dirt. And to realize that this Messiah that is going to come was going to baptize them with the very Spirit of God. They didn't have a clue what that was about. They just were excited because they just wanted to have somebody deliver them. They needed a savior, and that's who was coming, but he had a whole different plan than they thought. And so when it says here, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, it had a profound impact on us who have the Holy Spirit, and to realize what that Holy Spirit and who he is and how it works. Now, the baptism of Jesus, the first thing that we need to see about this and what the astounding reason was why he was baptized is that this is the first time in the entire Bible where you see the Trinity explicitly represented in the Bible. We see the Son, Jesus, submitting to the Father in baptism by faith, where it says right here, well, you see that because he just says, I do exactly what my Father wants me to do. But it says it right here in these verses. We also witness the Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove and so on, and the Father expressing words of affection and approval over the Son. So we see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all together here in this one segment of Scripture. But what we need to understand is there is something that Jesus Christ is accomplishing in the Holy Spirit and God, they are all one, accomplishing that is far beyond what our own baptism does, because Jesus Christ repented on our behalf, not his behalf. He didn't need to. He had nothing to repent of, but he was the only one who could offer a perfect change or a perfect repentance. And his submission to the Father was for our sake. Not for his, but it was for our sake, because he was already submitting to God perfectly on behalf of, by faith, because he trusted his Father. But the good news is that we have been included into the faith of the Son of God. The Spirit has been poured out upon us. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And it was a spectacular event, and God caused these miracles to occur to get everybody's attention and realize something spectacular is occurring here. And he gave the special gift of the interpretation of tongues, where Peter was speaking and giving the sermon in Acts chapter 2. And everybody heard in their own language, because God wanted to make sure that everybody got the good news and could understand it. So in their own language, they heard what Peter was speaking to them. And he wanted them to know what a spectacular event, because Jesus Christ is including us through his baptism in the family of God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. We are being inducted and joined right into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is our promised land, because when they came through the promise, the Jordan River, they came into the promised land. When we come through this process of the baptism of Jesus, because he did it all for us. When he was baptized, he was doing that for us. And he wants us to do it for others. That's why we're baptized. It's not necessarily so much for us. We need to repent and so on. But we do that so that other people can see and they can realize they need to repent, just like you've repented. But Jesus Christ is the one that did it for all of us. He was totally changed and got rid of the sin issue in the wilderness for us. He took us out of the wilderness. He did it all for us. And so now, all of our sins through Jesus' baptism, our sins and our failings have been washed away, and we have been immersed into his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And that's what Jesus' baptism is all about, that we are baptized into his life. And so why was Jesus baptized? When you think of it, it's brought out right here. When he says in verse 8 of Mark chapter 1, I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is God. We are being baptized into God. And by having God live in us, because Father, Son, and Spirit are one God, we have been included, and this has been something that has been on the heart of God from the very beginning. This is what God wants. He's looking for us to be a part of His family. They didn't understand that back then. They just thought there was going to be a Savior that's going to come and get them out from under this Roman abuse and so on. But now we understand what God is doing, and He is in the process of transforming us and changing us. That's what baptism is all about. And the baptism of Jesus goes into the extent of helping us to realize where this all is leading. It's leading us into the very family of God so that we are going to reign with Him, we'll be like Him, we'll be caught up together in the clouds, and we'll be just like Him, which, as we've mentioned so many times in recent sermons, is something we can't even comprehend, what it'll be like to be spirit. All we can do is guess, and God says, your guesses are going to be a joke, because you have no idea. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has even entered into your heart. When we guess, all we do is guess. And so we can be very thankful that God has something, when we go through that Jordan River, so to speak, symbolically, like John the Baptist was doing, and we go through the process of baptism and through the baptism of Jesus, all these things are symbolic, and they're reminding us that we have a future that is incomprehensible, that we are headed into the promised land. We're heading into the freedom where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, and no more death. Right now, we have the blessing of not having to worry about anything. We don't have any fears, doubts, anxieties, and so forth, unless you choose to have them and suck up to Satan, who's putting those thoughts in your mind as fiery darts. All you can do is put that shield of faith up there, and they just glance off, and they don't even bother you. Because you realize anytime you start worrying, you're telling God, I don't trust you. I got to fix this myself. When we realize who lives in us and we submit to Him, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and the Son live in us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then we realize what an absolutely astounding reason why Jesus was baptized and why we're baptized is that we are being included in the spirit realm, included in the very Trinity itself. We'll be a part of the very family of God. We'll be sons and daughters of God. And well, there won't be any male or female in the kingdom, but since today we have that, we'll all be a part of the family of God and children of God and serving God and enjoying Him for eternity without any of the things that we have to deal with now. All the trials of the wilderness will be out of the wilderness. We will have been gone through the Jordan River. We'll be in the promised land, which is the kingdom of God. And we'll be with Christ forever, and we will have a future that is incomprehensible. So let's just praise God and thank Him from the bottom of our hearts for what He is doing, has done, and will do. Father, we just thank You. Thank You for being so generous. Thank You for loving us, even when we can't even comprehend the kind of love You have, where You would take individuals who are so undeserving, but that's who You use. You called people like the Apostle Paul, who was a murderer. You're calling these individuals in jail, and for us to have a part in sharing with them the magnificent future. And they are so excited for hearing this for the first time. They had no idea. God, just thank You for giving us such good news to be able to share with whoever is receptive. And so, God, we pray that You'll bring people in our paths, that we can be able to love and care for and serve and help and bless and teach by our example and by words, to be ready always to give an answer to those that ask us. But God, just help us to become just like Your Son was when He walked this earth, and everywhere He went, He was loving people and caring for people. God, help us to be the same way as we got in that beautiful letter from Paul Lowe. Thank You for the encouragement that You gave to us through that letter so that we realize when we do these things and send letters and call and so forth, that You are glorified. And people are blessed. It's such a blessing to be able to be your servants and to be Christians. So God, thank you. All the glory goes to you, God. And we just commit our lives to you and ask you to live in us, through us. And thank you for everything that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.